It's business time. It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh. Yes, it's time for the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. It's our weekly segment that features interviews with Chicago area CEOs and entrepreneurs. They share their stories so we can better understand ours. Tonight, my guest is the owner and president of one of the more recognizable local companies, just based on their jingle, Felco. Doug Cook took over the reins of the Midwest's largest window, siding, and door company back in 2000. Felco's been in business since 1976. It's located in Des Plaines, but it's recently branched out and expanded the business with purchases of Danley's Garage World or Early Time Home Solutions, just to name a few. Felco employs over 450 people, operates out of 8 locations in the Midwest, and claims over $50 million in annual revenue. And it's continually cited as one of the best workplaces in the Midwest. Doug Cook, welcome to the Download in Chicago Business.
It's great to be here, Justin. Thanks for having me.
So you're an entrepreneur. You're a guy who came in 2000, said, I want to get involved in business, and you purchased Felco. Talk about that.
I did. I'm a born and bred Chicago guy. Having grown up here, going to school around here, University of Illinois, I got my start in business working in broadcasting, and I worked for ABC, and I sold airtime around the country, and it was in the early 90s, and I was having a great time. It was showbiz, bright lights, big city,
the prime time of broadcasting, the early 90s, right?
Exactly. And I was looking to say, you know, what do I do when I grow up, kind of thing, and so it was at that point in my life where I went back to grad school and I decided to get my MBA to learn a little bit more about business and be a little bit more of a well-rounded professional. So I stayed in broadcasting and did my evening studies at Northwestern here and earned my MBA. It was during that period at Northwestern that I was able to expose myself to a lot of different aspects of business, and there was nothing more electrifying for me than entrepreneurship. When I got to sit in classes teaching entrepreneurship and studying entrepreneurship at a master's level, it really connected me with something that, you know, I was listening to myself said, this is what you need
to
do.
Well, I always think about it. There's two kind of entrepreneurs. There's the one that's going to want to start up. Mm-hmm. And we see it a lot in Chicago where they say, I've got an idea for a business and I'm going to build it from the ground up.
Absolutely.
And there's others that come in and acquire. Mm-hmm. And in your case, you acquired. You went in looking for businesses that already were up and running.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I didn't have a partner. I didn't have an idea, you know, to go and start something up. I'd made a few bucks in real estate from an investment I'd made back, you know, a few years before that. And I was single. I figured, you know what, if something goes south here, I'll go and live in a refrigerator box somewhere. But fortunately, that's never come to pass. But the fact was that I didn't have that partner. I didn't have that idea. And I figured, you know what, if you're not going to start it, you're not going to partner on it, go and try and acquire something. And there was a lot of different things that I went and looked at, specifically after I finished my studies at Northwestern. I took 2 years and I looked at well over 150 different businesses.
What was attractive about Felco? Because at this point, I mean, 2000, you're talking about a company that's been around for 25 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, the gentleman, Mr. Felco, it's in his name.
Absolutely.
What was attractive about this company?
Well, first of all, it was a window, siding, and door company that did a little bit more, you know, some other types of home improvement projects, roofing, fencing, patio work, and so forth. What really appealed to me about the business itself was when I stripped away the fact of it may have been a construction company, it was really a sales and marketing organization that I thought fit my background and my skill set exceptionally well. The fact that it was a business that I always tell people was dusty. It wasn't rusty. It just needed some reinvigoration. The gentleman, Bernie Feld, the founder of the company, was looking to retire. He didn't have anybody to go sell the company to, didn't have anybody to pass the business off to. His children weren't really interested in running it, so he had to put the business for sale. And we had the great fortune of meeting each other. We clicked with each other. And it took 6 months or so to work a deal out. But it was a terrific relationship. And of all the great people I've met in my professional career, he's right up there with one of the best of them.
When you acquire a company like that and you go after a company that's already been around for 25 years, as you said, dusty, not rusty. But a lot of it, now you're taking over as the leader. You're the president. You're the owner. You want to change the culture. You want to change whatever you want to change. How difficult is that when the company's had employees that have been there for a long time that they want to, they know it a certain way? How difficult is it to come in and try to change the environment?
Right. Simply put, it's their home turf, right? I'm the visitor on their playing field. So somehow I had to go from being the visitor to kind of being the coach, right? And that just comes with time. You've got to earn people's trust. You've got to work with people. You got to get into the trenches with them, roll up your sleeves, learn what they do, why they do what they do, and all those kinds of things. So when it does come time to start transforming things and changing things, you need to understand, you need to empathize with people. You need to explain where you're going and why you're going there and why this is good for them. And so a lot of coaching, a lot of training along the way, but it took time and patience. And I tell people that, you know, the first time I did it, it took a lot longer than the subsequent times I've done it and bought other companies. You know, there's a learning curve and it's rooted around people. And that's the essence of what we as an organization are about. We're an organization of people serving people. And you've got to make sure our people, our staff, connect with the people they're serving. I want our staff to represent the communities they serve. I want them to look like the communities they serve. I want them to talk like the communities they serve, because we're their neighbors. Mm-hmm. We're just as much of a part of this community or any community we serve. And that's just something I learned very early on when I walked into Feldco 17 years ago. It's about the people, plain and simple.
When you are coming in and you have different goals. You know, you want to take Feldco somewhere else, you want to expand it, you want to make it more profitable, whatever you want to do, whatever the generic goals are. How do you set about doing that? Is that as someone who comes into you, say, these are my goals to everybody who's in the room, everybody come into the cafeteria, let's talk. Mm-hmm. These are my goals. Or is it something that you try to organically work with the company that you have, the management that's already in place, the people who are actually doing the work on the ground? Talk about that process of realigning goals with a staff that may have wanted to do something else a week before.
Well, I think you have to be very subjective about it, number one. I've done this well over 5 or 6 times now, and every time is a little different because every organization is comprised of different people and no two people are alike. So you have to have your beliefs, and you have to have your style, your system that you want to implement, let's say. But in order for that system or processes to work properly, you've got to get people to operate within them, and you've got to have people believe in them. So in some cases, it's cajoling, it's explaining, it's coaching. In other cases, it turns to discipline. It really varies. It's across the realm of possibilities of what you have to deal with, because it's ultimately back to that word people.
Doug Cook is the president and owner of Feldco. He's my guest tonight on the Download in Chicago Business. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation with Doug here on the Download in Chicago Business. Stay with us.
It's business time. It's business.
In studio tonight, Doug Cook. He is the president and owner of Feldco, the windows, sidings, and door company. We all know the jingle. He is in studio tonight on the Download in Chicago Business talking about his time, 17 years at the company. The company just turned 40 last year, which is amazing. Started in 1976. As the leader of this company now, what do you have to do to think about the next 40 years? I mean, where are you? I mean, is the idea to sustain the business that you're doing? Do you have grandiose ideas to say that we're going to expand window, siding, and door for the next 40?
Well, we've over the last 10 years, we've expanded expanded our operations outside of Chicago, originally going into Rockford and then Milwaukee, Quad Cities, Green Bay, Madison, Peoria. So we serve 7 different markets now with 8 different locations. And what we've continuously tried to do is get better at the basics. I'm a big believer in keeping it simple. As I alluded to earlier, we used to do a lot of different types of home renewal work beyond the 3 simple things that I believe in, which are windows, siding, and doors. We live in a world of specialties.
Yeah, right.
You know, you go to the big box stores that specialize in pets or pet products or hardware products or liquor or whatever it may be. Everybody tends to specialize in medicine. Everybody's a specialist in a particular form of medicine. We are specialists with windows, siding, and doors, and we find that there are a ton of people out there across the Fruited Plains that need those products.
Well, I always wonder, because it ultimately falls into the category of home improvement, and we've seen that area, that category of business just explode. The Absolutely. Interest from television, from magazines, from media, it's just all about people are just becoming more and more sophisticated about what they want, what they desire when it comes to their homes. Mm-hmm. Has that changed the way you deal with customers, the way that, that they're coming in much more educated than they have in the past?
Absolutely. For beginners, what our operating philosophy is that someone's home is their single largest asset. It's where their family is. It's where their most important assets in life are, and they want to protect their home and family. Our products do just that. So going in with that thought that you have a product that people want and need for their largest asset, we always want to make sure we have the best products in terms of innovation and technology that are keeping people's right. homes cooler in the summer, warmer in the winter. And so whether they're doors, they have the best, you know, hottest technology, whether it's a fiberglass or steel or whatever sort of new products are coming out, we want to make sure we're right on the edge there in terms of yeah. offering customers what they want when they want it. Along the lines of being able to provide customers, you know, the amount of information that they need in this world we live and operate in today, you've got to be professional. You've got to you know, be respectful of people's time. People's time is short, and you've got to give them what they want. They clearly are calling us up and they want us to come out and you know, give them an assessment of what they need, and they want to do it efficiently. They want to do it professionally. So you have to have people that are well trained and educated in our products and services and in the competitive landscape. So is that if someone's shopping the environment, they need to know what our competitors are going at us with.
You know, knowing that you've expanded to the other markets, Milwaukee, Madison, or Green Bay, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, you know, for you as a leader, as a CEO, or as a president and owner of the company, I mean, what are the challenges for that? I mean, when I think about the idea, everything you just said about wanting to know exactly what you want to get, keep it simple. You want your people to respect the customer. But as the company gets bigger and bigger and wider and further and farther away, what are the challenges for you as a president to make sure that those things you just mentioned are getting done?
Information. Information is knowledge. Knowledge is power. So along those lines, we are voracious consumers of data about our consumers, about our operations, about all kinds of things going on in and around our organization. So as we spread out from beyond Chicago and we have, you know, 7 or 6 different markets that we're serving, we have a lot of data, both externally and internally, that we are continuously processing to analyze and make sure that we're going about things properly and efficiently, and ultimately that customers are being satisfied. And we don't work, I shouldn't say satisfied, we work with a term at Feltco called customer delight. We don't just want customers satisfied, we want customers delighted, because we realize there are single largest evangelists out there. You want the customer that feels real good about our products and services to go out there and tell their friends, their family, their neighbors, so is that they too will be customers. And so it's kind of like a snowball that's going downhill. You want it to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and we have more and more customers. So today we want to have, or I should say, you know, 10 years out, we want to have 10 times as many customers as we have today.
When you have markets that are varied, rural, suburban, urban, mm-hmm. does a customer's wants change? Do their needs change in the way that you have to be prepared to service them in customized different ways?
Well, in this construction space, home renewal project space, you've got to make sure that you have products and services appropriate for your customer and the geography in which they live. It just so happens that all the markets that we serve are fairly similar. They're all upper Midwest markets.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
some may
right.
be a little colder than others,
right,
but
right.
they're generally upper Midwest markets. The products and services that we sell are all appropriate for this geography. These products and services would not necessarily be appropriate for the Southwest, where you may have more heat intense products that you need to address, or the Southeast rather, where you're going to have, you know, hurricane strength glass and all those kinds of things. So we do have products that are specifically engineered for our geography, and so that's a big part of what we do. And so we want to have that simplicity, that consistency, that regardless of whether we're in the downtown area of Chicago or out in the farm fields of Wisconsin, our products are right for the consumers that we serve.
My last question quickly just is about the culture in the workplace. You have been cited by a lot of places saying you have one of the stronger workplaces in the Midwest. You get on the lists every year. You have different lists that come out. What's the secret? What is the secret from you as a leader, as an owner of a company, to maintaining a culture that is satisfactory to to the employees that work there?
We are extremely, extremely diligent in recruiting to make sure that we put square pegs in square holes and not the other way around. So we want to make sure that we have the right people in our organization that are going to be in line with our thinking and our operating philosophies. So we want to make sure that's the Jim Collins good to great thing. You want to get the right people on the bus in the right seats. And also never, ever forget it's about the people. We like to work hard, but also like to have fun. So people that are inclined to not have a problem with rolling up their sleeves and diving into the mess of satisfying and delighting customers, we're all about it. Yeah. And if they can have a good time doing it, it's even better.
Doug Cook is the president and owner of Feldco, the window, sidings, and door company here that serves the Midwest, 8 locations in 8 different places in the Midwest, employs over 450 people, and claims over $50 million in annual revenue. My guest at Download Chicago Business. Doug, thanks for being here.
Great to be here. Thanks, Justin.